Now, you guys are located in Annapolis, Maryland. Beautiful Annapolis, near the United States Naval Academy.
Go Navy.
Go Navy. Beat Army.
Beat Army.
Yeah. Warren.
Well, tell us how, so you're in Annapolis, tell us how your church plant in Annapolis got started.
Well, it got started with conviction. I have spent my career in mega churches, and I was a worship pastor and led the music and all of the arts side of the ministry, and came to the conviction through several means about the wisdom and value of worship that was counterformational to the prevailing culture, rather than copying and affirming the prevailing culture. And I also came to a great conviction as a battle that I fought within those megachurches for the Eucharist and the way in which we were treating it. And I felt that, you know, we believed that Jesus was known in the Word, but it became more and more clear to me that as he was with the disciples at Emmaus in Luke 24, that he was known also in the breaking of the bread. And I wanted people to know Jesus in that way. So that's what got us started. I was at a big church in northern Indiana, and because our son was at the Naval Academy, got to know some friends in Annapolis, Maryland. They invited me to come be on staff in their church, and was there for 18 months and left to plant Redeemer, which was independent at the time.
I think it's amazing in our conversation how the Lord used your son's geography and location
right.
to bring you to where you were, and how God uses our own family members providentially.
Yes, right, and that was actually a bit of a sense of humor on God's part.
We were at a church of 4,000 or nearly 4,000 in Indiana, came to a church of about 1,300 in Annapolis, and then left to start a church of 6.
Yep. So the humor there is that we ended up moving to Annapolis just a couple of months after our son left Annapolis, and
he was deployed.
So we never
don't come
got
home. We're not there.
Yeah.
So, how does your church reach out into the community today?
I'll take that. We moved from the suburbs of Annapolis where we lived. We moved there because of the schools, and we had a son when we first moved that was in fifth grade. He graduated from high school, so we could move into the city. So in October, we left the suburbs where we were living and moved right in the thick of things. We are very much located in the city. We believe that we are called to our neighbors, and our neighbors are anybody that we happen to bump into, and we bump into a lot of people in Annapolis. We have invited people into our home that we wouldn't necessarily have had the opportunity to do. One is a homeless gentleman that Steve was able to start a relationship with through the course of our time after moving to Annapolis, and even on Halloween, he showed up at our door, and so we're handing out candy, and he came in and ate chili with us on Halloween.
So we believe that we can only do justice in ways that we're proximate to. So if we were going to become an indispensable asset to our city, we had to be proximate to that. And where we live in the city, we are surrounded literally by subsidized housing, and the people that we bump into every day are the people that Jesus would call the least. And we also, as a church, have adopted a little 20 by 60 foot piece of land in front of a Section 1 elementary school, in which for the last 2 years we have spent several thousand dollars and several hundred hours trying to cultivate this into a very beautiful spot that is the first thing that students see when they walk into the school. And if you don't believe in the four-chapter gospel, creation, fall, redemption, and restoration, this piece of ground is that in microcosm. It was 4 feet of Bermuda grass when we got it, and is almost impossible to get rid of the Bermuda grass. So every time we go back, it's full of weeds.
Okay. Well, switching gears a little bit, I was going to ask you a little bit about the clergy retreat. You all have been coming, I think, once, a couple of times in recent years. How is the clergy retreat that we go to down in Florida meaningful to both of you?
For me, the part that has been the most meaningful would be my relationships with other clergy spouses. It's lovely being at Synod, but we don't have an opportunity to get to know one another on a deeper level, and I believe that the clergy retreat provides that opportunity. As a matter of fact, we were able to get to know Jim and Barbara Ferguson a little bit more, and that led to us spending Christmas afternoon with them, which was wonderful.
Yes, so I've been to four clergy retreats now, and two times ago, Peter and Barb, I took advantage of them praying for me, and it was such a Peter and Betty, I'm sorry, and it was such a significant time for me. July of 2015 to July of 2016 was the worst year of ministry I've had in 35 years of ministry. And don't worry, like my fear of speed bumps, I'm slowly getting over it. But get it? this is a rough crowd. It really is after lunch, isn't it? So last year when I went, I was on the up swing from that, and but still needed some serious care. And one I will say is this is a great time for the bishops to pastor their priests. It's wonderful. You're not doing business. You're just together. The other thing is I actually took what Thad Barnum said very seriously last year. Three things I built into my life. One is a papa. He said something about having a spiritual father, and I don't know who it was, but one of our Nigerian brothers put his arm around me as I was walking out of the building and said, "My brother, do you have a father?" And I knew exactly what he meant by that, and I didn't. And I recruited an 86-year-old man to be my spiritual father. At our first meeting, he told me the eight words that he would tell his grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and children if he only had one breath left: love Jesus passionately, obey him completely, act promptly. That's a sermon right there, by the way. You just got a sermon from me. It's a sermon that I taught. The other thing that I did was Thad suggested that we recruit a prayer team that was not part of our church. So on the way home, Lauren and I were talking about who that might be, and we reconnected with six couples from our life, including my youth pastor from Southern California and his wife, to become our prayer team that we could share very, very candidly with and have praying for us all the time. I cannot tell you, one, the value of reconnecting with those people who have been so significant in our lives, but also knowing that all I have to do is write a quick email and I have got a team of people across the country praying for me immediately, just like that. The other was I took advantage of Call to Disciple, Thad Barnum's website. Our archbishop was talking yesterday about the necessity of confession. I will tell you that I have been talking to Thad about every month since that retreat, and it has been some of the most remarkable hours that I've ever spent. He does it on Skype. We do it on FaceTime. He gets right up in your grill on the phone with that intensity that he has. And, you know, E.E. Cummings, the poet, said, "Always, always the beautiful answer who asks the more beautiful question." Thad asks some of the most beautiful questions of any man I have ever met. And I have been able to share parts of my life with him that have been remarkable. And to receive his counsel, his absolution, his reminder of my identity in Christ. It's not all easy. You get punched a lot when you're a pastor. And that still happens. But you know what? I do have a team of people around me.